The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod. A poetic injustice. I'm Jason Horton.
I'm Rebecca Lieb.
And this is Ghost Town.
The funeral of the famed Edgar Allan Poe's was a small and somber one, held at 4 p.m. on October 8, 1849, in the back of Westminster Hall and Burying Ground in Baltimore, Maryland. It was appropriately grim, a Gothic scene ripped almost from one of Poe's own writings. Sexton George W. Spence wrote of the event, quote, "It was a dark and gloomy day, not raining but just kind of raw and threatening." The literary legend was buried in a cheap coffin provided by his uncle-in-law, driven to Westminster Hall in a hearse financed by a cousin. The entire ceremony lasted only 3 minutes in the cold, damp weather, a handful of friends and family peering down into an unmarked grave. In an odd turn of events, Poe's headstone had been pulverized by a rogue train that had crashed into the masonry lot, a last, bizarre, haunting final detail of a life, death, and enduring mystery that would remain. For you see, Poe didn't just write about mysterious circumstances. His end, in effect, was one. In the century and a half since Poe passed, thousands have offered theories on Poe's strange death, one that to this day remains an unknown. Today on Ghost Town, the death of Edgar Allan Poe. Born on January 19, 1809, in Boston, Edgar Allan Poe was the second child of actors who were absent most of his life. His father left the family in 1801, and his mother died the following year. Poe was adopted at age 10, grew up in Virginia, and attended the University of Virginia for a bit before leaving due to lack of money. In 1827, he enlisted in the United States Army, where he published his first collection, Tamerlane and Other Poems, which was credited not as Poe's name, but just as, quote, "a Bostonian." Poe then failed as an officer cadet at West Point, declared his intention to become a writer, and did that, moving between several cities, including Baltimore, Philadelphia, and New York. His career took off. In January 1845, he published his poem, The Raven, to instant success. Poe became widely regarded as one of the central figures in the Romantic and Gothic fiction movement, a huge influence on American literature, and credited as one of the country's first successful practitioners of the short story, a pioneer of the detective fiction genre, and a contributor of the emergent literary genre of the time, science fiction. He is, and this, I don't know, seems very notable, is the first well-known American writer to earn a living exclusively through writing, which resulted in a financially difficult life and career. Poe's writing would see itself through substance abuse, mental illness, cholera attacks, hallucinations, gambling debts — he had a massive gambling problem — and overall difficulties relating to others. This is where we find Poe at age 40 on October 3rd, 1849. On this date, Poe was found semi-conscious in Baltimore by a journalist from the Baltimore Sun named Joseph W. Walker. Some accounts say that he's a journalist, other that he worked close by. It's hard to say. We're going to go with journalist. Walker found the poet on the street near a pub called Gunner's Hall, wearing someone else's soiled, shabby clothes. Poe was not coherent long enough to explain too much about where he was and why he was wearing someone else's used clothing, but he is said to have repeatedly called out the name Reynolds, though it's unclear to whom he was referring. He did tell Walker that he had left Richmond, Virginia, almost a week before, bound for Philadelphia, to edit a book for a poet. A delirious Poe asked the journalist to contact Joseph E. Snodgrass, a real name, and a magazine editor with medical training. Walker sent a letter, an urgent letter, requesting help to Joseph E. Snodgrass, saying, quote, "Dear sir, there is a gentleman rather the worse for wear at Ryan's Fourth Ward polls, who goes under the cognomen of Edgar A. Poe, and who appears in great distress, and he says he is acquainted with you, and I assure you he is in need of immediate assistance. Yours in haste, Jose W. Walker." Snodgrass later claimed that the note said Poe was, quote, "in a state of beastly intoxication." And I can't say I know the timeline on this per se, but Snodgrass arrived maybe soon after. It's hard to say how fast the letter got to him, by like emergency horse-drawn carriage or something, I don't know. Anyhow, Poe was still there in the same state as detailed in the letter. Snodgrass describes Poe's appearance as, quote, "repulsive, with unkempt hair, a haggard, unwashed face, and, quote, lusterless and vacant eyes." His clothing, Snodgrass said, which included a dirty shirt but no vest and unpolished shoes, was worn, not his, and did not fit well. Snodgrass brought Poe to Washington College Hospital, where he was denied any visitors and confined to a small room with barred windows, a room in the section of the building reserved for people who were extremely intoxicated. Poe lapsed in and out of consciousness and was sometimes violent. At the hospital, Poe's attending physician, John Joseph Moran, gave his own detailed account of Poe's appearance on the day of admission. He said he, quote, "wore a stained, faded old bombazine coat, pantaloons of a similar character, a pair of worn-out shoes run down at the heels, and an old straw hat." In his letters, Moran described a very sick man, detailing periods where Poe spoke to, quote, "spectral and imaginary objects on the walls," and kept calling for someone named Reynolds. Poe, according to Moran, also experienced tremors, bouts of unconsciousness, and delirium before his death. When questioned, Poe was unable to remember where he had spent his time in Baltimore or how he became so ill. Poe also didn't know what had happened to his trunk of belongings, which had been left behind at the tavern and were found days later. At 5 in the morning on October 7, 1849, 4 days after being admitted to the hospital, Edgar Allan Poe died. The cause of death was listed as phrenitis, swelling of the brain. Moran said that Poe's final words were, quote, "Lord help my poor soul." Or at least that's what we think that he said. We only have Moran's word to go on. As all of the relevant medical information has been lost, Edgar Allan Poe's death certificate. Newspapers at the time reported Poe's death as, quote, "congestion of the brain" or "cerebral inflammation," common euphemisms at the time for death from disreputable causes, such as alcoholism. But to many, Poe's actual cause of death remains a complete mystery, with theories including poisoning, syphilis, rabies, delirium tremens, suicide, and even fraud all on the list. We'll get to all of them after this break.
The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is Endgame Economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for. My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Even after his funeral on October 8, 1849, Edgar Allan Poe wasn't exactly laid to rest by his readers. Fans speculated that all kinds of things had happened, especially given the details of the story, and how strange they actually are. Let's go through some of the details that just don't make sense. First, of course, there's the obvious, his drinking. Poe famously had a problem processing alcohol, but not a problem getting his hands on it. A temperance activist, Snodgrass blamed the writer's death on liquor in speeches nationwide he gave after Poe's death. Yet, Poe's attending physician, Dr. John J. Moran, published a pamphlet claiming a, quote, perfectly sober Poe did not smell of alcohol when admitted to the hospital and refused it when it was offered, drinking only water. That said, Moran, who became a star on the speaking circuit with his colorful accounts of the poet's death, has kind of discredited himself in the eyes of historians with his widely varying reports of what Poe said and did in his final days. So there's that. Then there's the name that Poe keeps shouting out for, Reynolds. No one has ever been able to identify the person to whom he referred. There are possibilities, of course. One is that he was recalling an encounter with Jeremiah N. Reynolds, a newspaper editor and explorer who may have inspired one of Poe's novels. Strange thing to yell out, right? Another possibility is that Poe was referencing Henry R. Reynolds, one of the judges overseeing the Fourth Ward polls at Ryan's Tavern, who may have met Poe on Election Day because the tavern was actually a polling place. More on that in a bit. Poe may have actually been calling for Herring, as the author had an uncle-in-law in Baltimore named Henry Herring. In later testimonies, Moran avoided reference to Reynolds but mentioned a visit by a Mrs. Herring. He also claimed he attempted to cheer up Poe during one of the few times that he was awake. When Moran told his patient that he would soon be enjoying the company of friends, Poe allegedly replied that, quote, the best thing his friend could do would be to blow out his brains with a pistol. That's Poe, not mincing words. As a note, in Poe's distressed state, he may have been thinking of Richmond, where his late wife, Virginia Eliza Clem Poe, and himself lived while she was still alive. Or he may have been referring to Sarah Elmira Royster, to whom he had proposed at one point. Long story short, we have no idea who Reynolds is, or if that word plays a part in his death at all. Then, of course, there's Poe wearing someone else's clothes, and him having no medical records whatsoever, not even a death certificate. The last part almost feels conspiratorial in a way. Remember, though not rich, Poe was a pretty prominent literary figure of the time, one who was often recognized, well-known. So what did happen that led to the death of Edgar Allan Poe? Again, the most obvious answer is probably drinking too much, and his body just couldn't handle it. But there are many, many more. Another theory, fairly popular, is foul play. It's been proposed that Poe was beat up by someone to whom he owed money. After all, he was a voracious gambler and had problems with it in the past. He could have also been assaulted by one of the three brothers of his wealthy fiancée, Emma Shelton. Rumors had it that they roughed him up and forced liquor down his throat. After all, Shelton was of high regard and respectable, and while Poe was successful, he was an artist and way below her station. Moran, while he was doing his celebrity Why My Famous Patient Edgar Allan Poe Died publicity tour, said that actually Poe fell prey to what was called cooping, a shockingly common practice whereby one is drugged, put in different clothes to disguise their identity, and forced to vote several times in different elections. This theory gets a bit more water when history tells us that Gunner's Hall was actually a polling site in a local sheriff's election being held the night that he was found. And that name Reynolds, a judge that was in the gravitational pull of the polling place, a politician at the time, might have something to do with that. Many people believe this theory because it has strong facts tied to it, like the location was actually a polling place, that Reynolds was the actual name of a judge, etc. Let's veer into more bizarre territory, however. The next theory I'm going to talk about is the brain tumor theory. Like we said in the beginning of this episode, Poe was buried in an unmarked grave in the Poe family plot in Baltimore. After visiting the unceremonious resting place many a time, poet Paul Hamilton Lane raised funds to build a new final resting place for Poe, one that was a more respectful monument to the literary giant. The poet's body was relocated at the monument, which was built in 1875, almost exactly 26 years after his death. The sexton overseeing the reburial, George W. Spence, later said that he had lifted up Poe's skull when the body was exhumed, and that, quote, "his brain rattled around inside just like a lump of mud, sir." Why he did that, I have no idea. But knowing that the brain is one of the first parts of the body to decompose, author Matthew Pearl theorized that what Spence was rattling around could not have been Poe's shrunken, desiccated brain, but could have been a brain tumor. This would explain Poe's extended delirious behavior and actions beyond something like alcohol or drugs. But the theories keep getting wilder. At a pathological conference in 1996, Dr. R. Michael Benitez was given a list of symptoms for an anonymous patient and asked to determine the cause of death. The patient turned out to be none other than Edgar Allan Poe, and the diagnosis Benitez gave was rabies. Poe did own pets, including a cat who died soon after he did. How did the cat die? I couldn't find out. Another mystery, perhaps, for another episode. Unfortunately, Benitez further acknowledged his diagnosis, which is based on Poe's symptoms that are talked about many a time, both in the hospital and where Poe was found in front of the pub, could not be proved without DNA evidence. In 1999, public health researcher Albert Denae did get some DNA from Poe, and while he couldn't see if Poe had rabies or not, or I couldn't find out if he made any conclusions along those lines, he was able to analyze Poe's hair clippings taken after the poet's death. Denae conjectured that the writer actually died of carbon monoxide poisoning from exposure to the coal gas that was used for heating at the time. This conclusion is quite the departure from all of the other theories, but again, something to note, especially as many other people got carbon monoxide poisoning from exposure at the time. Interestingly enough, the test also showed the levels of lead indicating Poe was not drunk at the time of death. The DNA test also showed elevated levels of mercury, leading Chris Sepner of the Poe Museum in Richmond to propose that Poe had died of the mercury chloride prescribed after he was exposed to a malaria epidemic 3 months before his death. Still, the mercury found was 30 times below levels consistent with that, so just another rather thin theory. Of course, the cause of the poet's death could also be not so exciting, dare I say it. Apparently, Poe was not feeling well before setting out from Richmond for Philadelphia, and both his fiancée and his doctor there advised him not to go. So it could have just been encephalitis or meningitis or even just the flu. Author Matthew Pearl believes the mystery of Edgar Allan Poe's death will never fully be solved. Quote, "I think an exhumation could answer questions using forensic analysis, but there's no way it will really happen. And even if it somehow did, any analysis would probably raise as many questions as propose answers." If we want to thank anyone for the enduring mystery of Poe's death, and, you know, this episode, it's probably his doctor, John J. Moran. Moran published claims and went on speaking tours during the 1870s and 1880s, revealing on his tours and in his claims lots of contradictory information, theories, and generally fanned the fire of the mystery. Poe's cause of death really could have been so many things: alcohol, rabies, gambling, a voting scheme, a brain tumor, an angry group of soon-to-be in-laws, or who knows? The ambiguity remains as strange as fiction and as enduring as the raven, a captivating facet of one genius poet buried in an unmarked grave.
Craving the coffee flavor you love, but without the caffeine? Ka'Chava's got you covered with their newest coffee flavor. This all-in-one nutrition shake delivers bold, authentic flavor crafted from premium decaffeinated Brazilian beans. Quality nutrition shouldn't be complicated. Just 2 scoops of Ka'Chava's all-in-one nutrition shake and you've got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. Whether you're craving that coffee taste to kickstart your morning ritual or as a nutrient-packed reward to round out your afternoon, Ka'Chava keeps you fueled and satisfied wherever your day takes you. Plus, it actually tastes delicious. No fillers, no nonsense. Just the good stuff your body craves. And for the times you feel like switching it up, you've got 7 flavors to choose from, all with the highest quality ingredients. Treat yourself to the flavor and nutrition your body craves. Go to ka'chava.com and use code FITNESS. New customers get 15% off their first order. That's K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com code FITNESS.